Tonight, I want to address a question. How do you know that you know someone? How do you know that you really know someone? I'm going to give a couple of examples of some people in your everyday life, some celebrities right now that I'm sure we're all familiar with, and then we'll kind of narrow down what doesn't work. But we would all agree probably that we do not know Sean Penn, but we know of him. We know that he is the leading actor of the hit movie, I think the most popular movie in America this week. But we don't always trust actors, do we? Like, we look at him and we're like, is he acting or is he being sincere? We don't really know. And so there's a level of distrust when it comes to actors, because we know that they can act. Another person that's in the news this week, our President Barack Obama's inauguration was today. Some people might say he acts as well, but we're not going to go there. For the most part, he is a different kind of a person that you don't really get to know, because he seems like he's always in business mode. He's always serious. We saw a little bit of the dad come through as he spoke at the tragedy with the elementary school. But for the most part, he's kind of the stoic presence that doesn't break free from being the president. And he's just not real. And so we kind of don't think that we know him. We know of him. We know of Sean Penn, but we just don't know them. And then occasionally, there'll be a celebrity that'll come across our way that you just hear an interview with them, and there's just passion with them, and there's emotion with them, and there's realness with them, there's transparency with them, and you say, this person is someone that I think I know. And that happened for me a few months back, because Manti Te'o was talking on sports radio, and he talked about this girl that he loved. This girl that he invested so much of his time in, and his grandma dies 6 hours before his girlfriend dies. And there's all of this emotion and all this talk and all of this that goes on. And I find out last Wednesday that she never existed. And he was a part of a hoax. And you can kind of understand, you know, this emotional guy who ends up meeting someone online. And I guess I don't understand all that. But he fell for something there. And you think you know somebody, and you don't. And you think, well, Pete, the problem is because you're talking about celebrities. If you're talking about somebody that's not a celebrity and somebody that I just know, like just a friend or a second cousin or something like that, then I know them. But the thing that I need to know mostly about knowing them is that I need to know kind of just the intricacies of their life. And I'm like, oh, really? Like Facebook? Like you know what your friend in Louisiana had for dinner last night? You know what your second cousin's name of his pet frog is? Do you know him? Do you know your mom? I'd say I know my mom. Not all of us might be able to say it as certainly as I can say I know my mom. I know my mom. And if somebody came to me and said, I saw your mom last week, and man, she's just a regular old couch potato, you know. I had to water her a few times, and she just sits there all day long, and that, I, you know, I'd say, no, that's not my mom. I know the character of my mom, and she cannot sit for very long. She's got to be cooking something, doing something, serving someone all the time. And I would say, I would know by your description of who you said my mom is, that that's not my mom, because I know my mom. Do you know the Lord? I'm not interested in what you know about him tonight. I think that's very helpful, and I think that you should know as much as you can know about God. But I am asking you a simple question tonight. Do you know God? I feel like I do. I feel like I do because there is something that I have done over the years that I have done in a pattern, something that I have done routinely. It's something that I've done since college. It's four things that I really need to know God. And this is just for me. I don't, this might not be for everybody, but I need a chair. I need a lamp. I need a Bible. And I need a question. There is a question that I often throw out that I don't always throw out probably as often as I should, but when I do, I feel like God answers it. I'll tell you what. We'll get back to that question a little bit later. Tonight, we're going to take a look at the book of Numbers. We're going to continue in our series. Numbers chapter 12. Let's read it. It says here that Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses, they asked? Hasn't he also spoken through us? And the Lord heard this. Now you can tell that there's a little bit of an arrogance in the way that they're talking here. You can tell there's a little bit of pride. You remember last week we talked about the things that creep into our life without the word of God? The first being pride. Hey, who's Moses think he is? Is he the only one that God talks to around here? Who's he think he is? Now, Moses was a very humble man, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. Now, I find this to be really funny. Do you guys happen to know who wrote Numbers? Moses. Moses wrote Numbers, and this verse pops up, and it says, no one else on the face of the earth was more humble than Moses. Now, you notice how it's in parentheses. I'm in my footnotes and such, I kind of read that this is added in later for content's sake. That Moses maybe wasn't even the one who put that in there. But it's important to the context, I believe, of this particular story. So don't forget it. We'll come back to it, just like we'll come back to my question. At once, the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you. So the three of them went out, and the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. We talked about that last week, that this was very common for him at that time. He came down in a pillar of cloud, and he stood at the entrance of the tent, and he summoned Aaron and Miriam. And when the two of them stepped forward, he said, listen to my words. Listen to my words. Now, can you imagine an oral voice of God? God coming down in a pillar, summoning you and two other people before him. And he says, listen to my words. Freak you out. I'd be freaked out. And he says this. He says, when there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, reveal myself to them in visions, and I speak to them in dreams. Now, that's kind of common for us, isn't it? That we're used to hearing God communicate to people through visions and dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house, and with him, I speak face to face, clearly, and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? In other words, can't you tell he's different? He's different than you. Yeah, I've used you before, but I've had to use dreams, Aaron. Don't you know I talked to Moses face to face? Now, we know that this face to face isn't literal because we know that no human can actually be face to face, and there's actually descriptions of Moses like seeing the backside or Elijah seeing the backside of God, and yet nobody can handle a face-to-face with God or they would disintegrate and die. So what is this talking about? If it's not face-to-face, what is he talking about? He's really talking here about something significant, and I think it goes back to our key verse about Moses being humble. Now, for us to move forward, we got to understand what humble is. I think a lot of people have misunderstood humble. I have met so many people over the years that appear to be humble, and they're actually prideful. And in their humility, they're like seeking attention. Oh, don't anybody look at me as I do everything. Don't anybody pay attention to how I'm the martyr. Oh, isn't she humble? Isn't he humble? No, he's not. Here's what C.S. Lewis says. He says, true humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. In other words, don't think of yourself as something, don't put yourself down. Think about other people. And I have found that this is really true. True humility is about people that think about other people, people that truly can be put in a position where they think about other people. And I think about Manti Te'o and how he fooled me. And I think about how he probably didn't fool his mom or his dad. Because I think Manti, my opinion, and I could be wrong. I mean, I've been wrong before. I was wrong last September. I could be wrong now. But my opinion is that he is just a very humble, gullible, emotional guy that fell for some fake girl on the internet. And my take is that even though I could never have seen that coming, I think his mom knows him pretty well, and I think his mom probably could see that coming. Because I believe Manti's mom understood a relationship with him that none of us can understand, because she was able to sit with him in humility. In other words, sit with him thinking about him more than she was thinking about herself. And how often have we had the opportunity? Sometimes, if you've never had this experience, I truly, in the truest sense of the word, I pity you. To be able to sit with somebody and to look them in the eye and to actually care more about them and their answers and the questions you have for them, to sit with them in humility, not thinking about yourself, thinking about them, is one of the greatest gifts you can ever have. That is really what small groups are about. That's really why we do small groups. It isn't so much that we can just sit down and we can memorize something or that we can get through some kind of a lesson to learn about God. No, we want to learn and know God. And we want to know each other. And by truly knowing each other takes humility. It takes something within you that says, I'm not going to worry about my end today. I'm going to worry about their needs, the end in their life. And you have noticed, I believe you probably, most of you here, on some level have experienced what it's like to selflessly sit with somebody, pursue their needs, their desires, help them out, and see what kind of a bond happens. And I am telling you, you would get to know somebody. And if you do this on a regular basis, you begin to see their character. And things don't begin to fool you later on. There was some tragic news here in town. There was a local minister that ended up confessing to a immoral and illegal sexual relationship and was put in prison maybe 5 to 30 years. And shocked a community, shocked a church. And I really believe that a lot of the tragedy in that whole thing is that there weren't enough people sitting kneecap to kneecap with this guy. In humility, getting to know him. In humility, getting to understand where he was at and understand the honest truth about what made him tick. We all need that. We all need someone with humility in their life, in our life. And that's where it kind of brings me back to this chair. Because I know there's a lot of people that have chairs. And there's a lot of people that have lamps. There's a lot of people that have the Word of God. And I'm not special, but please don't hear me by saying I'm special because of this, but I want you to know that I believe the reason that I know the Lord the way I do is because I ask him a question from time to time. A specific question. It's not about knowing about him. It's about knowing him. And that question is this. God, how are you doing? You guys remember, some of you are probably 2 years old, I'm afraid to even ask this. You guys remember 9/11? There was something that went on in our country that I had never experienced before or since. There was a fear that kind of gripped us. And there were people that were jacking up prices that day on the gas tanks. I can remember that. It was like $8 a gallon gas and people running around. And it was kind of a little bit of a freak out that happened for a while. And I remember people praying at that time. And I remember a couple of the prayers. And one of the prayers I remember that was very common was, Lord, whoever these people are, don't let them come to the Midwest. Protect Illinois. Protect my family. Protect me. And there were us ministers that just felt like it was more important and more, we had higher things to pray about, right? Right. And so there was another common prayer for maybe us that were trying to be spiritual. And that was this question. We asked God, or it wasn't a question, it was a request. It was like, God, would you please teach us what we need to learn through this situation? Teach us what it is you're trying to communicate here. And I want to be really clear with you that those were not, if God were to come down and he were to describe my relationship with him, if he were to come down in a pillar of cloud and he were to bring two of you with him and he was to say, this is my servant Pete, let me describe Pete to you. He probably wouldn't say he sees the form of me. He meets with me face to face. No, he'd probably say, this is Pete Coco. He seeks my hands of protection. Because the only time he ever talks to me is to say, oh, Lord, please protect me. The only time he ever talks to me, oh, Lord, please provide for me. I really need some money. I really need some help. I really need a car. I really need. Help me. On a good day, he might describe to you Pete Coco as the spiritual leader who is seeking his voice. Oh, this is Pete Coco, and he has a face to voice relationship with me because he's seeking my guidance. He wants to know wisdom. He wants to know why. He wants to understand what to learn. And I commend him for that, and I commend him for wanting and needing, and that's okay. I'm a father, and as a father, I want to provide for Pete. I like it when he needs. I like it when he seeks guidance. Don't get me wrong. God says, don't get me wrong. Those are good prayers. Continue to pray those prayers. But occasionally, I wonder if we need to sit in our chair with our lamp on, with just a Bible, And we need to ask God how he's doing. Now, why would that be significant? Because that's humility. Because that is a relationship that you are not seeking something for yourself in. That is a relationship in which you entirely care about the Lord more than you care about you. Think about it. How many prayers do you go to the Lord with the intent of blessing him as opposed to getting something out of it? And when we go to the Lord occasionally just to say, God, how you doing? I think that raises your eyes from his hands. It raises your eyes up a bit more from his voice. And I think in a metaphorical way, it allows you to see God face to face. I think it gives you an opportunity to see his eyes. It gives you an opportunity to catch something there. And when you have an eye-to-eye relationship, have you ever noticed what ends up happening? You can't help but give something in an eye-to-eye relationship. Now, all of it's so dark in here, I can't catch eyes with any of you really, but if I'm looking in your eyes, I can't just take, can I? That's why, just going to warn you guys, that's why guy-girl relationships are so very, very, you need to be very guarded. They're very dangerous. You get eye-to-eye, and it's like, ooh. There's a little take coming on here, and there ends up becoming these affairs that end up happening over lunch, over these times, because there's give and take. And when we ask that question of the Lord, I believe it raises our eyes up to a point where we're actually not just a taker, but we're a giver. And you can't help but bless the Lord that way. And God can't help but be pleased. And I think that is why that verse is so important. Moses was more humble than any man on the face of the earth. It was right around this whole 9/11 thing, and one of my friends kind of pointed this whole thing out of how people were praying. And he actually challenged me on this how are you doing kind of concept, and it got me thinking. And I think that those thoughts ended up getting me to a point where I was thinking on it so much that I ended up having a dream about it. You know how that works, right? Usually people are like, oh man, I had this dream. I don't know what it means. Well, it probably means whatever you were thinking about before you went to bed. Okay, let me just... That's just how it works. And this is what happened. I had this dream. At the time, Micah, my oldest daughter, was like 2 years old. Cute. There's nothing cuter than a two-year-old girl. And we'd have these friends over. We had this this little boy that we'd babysit and watch, and he was about 2 years old. I guess they were like one day difference, so they're the exact same age. And Micah, now this is not my dream yet, this is just truth. Micah had seen me perform a number of weddings. And, you know, as a little girl, it's in a little girl's DNA. I don't understand it. They start planning the wedding then. I don't know why. You know, girls, you understand. And she knows weddings. She's thinking weddings. She's planning weddings. She's got dresses in her head, and she's just wedding. She's 2 years old. It's ridiculous. And so she grabs this Jake by the hand and she drags him up to me, and I'm standing in front of the living room. And she looks up at me with her eyes and she, Daddy. Marry us. And Jake is standing there, and, you know, he's stuffing a few fruit snacks in his mouth, and kind of staring off and looking. He's just oblivious. Like, whatever. And I was like, no. I can't even pretend. This is not even funny, you know. And this would happen on occasion. This would happen fairly routinely. And so I remember this dream, okay? Here's my dream. I have this dream that I am in the back of a church. The church is full of people. These doors are closed. There's some music going on. There's some people up front that are all dressed up from side to side. And it's just me. And it's this girl. Dressed to the hilt in her wonderful wedding gown. White and flowing. And it's Micah. All grown up. All 42 years of her. Hey, it's my dream, okay? And I'm ready. I mean, I'm ready to go. And the music's playing, and they open up the doors, and dun dun da dun's playing, and I'm like, okay, I'm nervous, and I'm ready to go. And I grab her by the hands, and no kidding, this is what she does in her dream. It chokes me up every time. I think about it. She grabs me by the hand, she pulls me back. I'm like, what are you doing, Mike? We got to go. I mean, they're waiting for us. The song's playing, and we're missing our cue. You know how important that is on wedding days. They won't do anything without me, Dad. It'll be all right. And you know how it is in a dream. You're just kind of worked up and like, oh, relate. And I got my underwear on, and I can't figure this thing out. And no, I was just like really, really wanting to get down the aisle. And she just said, Dad. No, they'll wait for me. I got a question for you. And I stop for just a second, and I look at her eyes, and she looks at mine. She says, Dad, how you doing? And I'm like, how am I doing? I got stuff going on in my life. You have no idea what it's about. I wouldn't even if I explained it to you, you wouldn't understand. And even if you did understand, you probably couldn't do anything about it. So let's go. No, that's not my response. My response was, isn't that beautiful? Because there are things that you, when you ask God how he's doing, he could probably blow you away with things you just obviously that just you just don't even couldn't even comprehend. Do you think that takes away from the love that he feels when you ask him that? Do you know how special I felt in that dream? When Micah pulled me back and she just said, they will wait. It is my day and I choose to ask you how you're doing. Oh. I don't think there's a more beautiful, humble question that we could be asking that would create a face-to-face relationship with our Lord. Now, I don't think that it's the only question that you should ask. I think that if you have needs, you need to share them. And I think if you need wisdom, you need to ask for it. But I do think that if you really truly want God one day to just let everyone else stop for a minute and have him describe to everyone else just like he described to Miriam and Aaron, this is my servant, and she or he sees me face to face. This is the kind of relationship we got to desire with the Lord. Recently, I heard of a guy who had mentioned how he had a vision. And as he talked about this vision, he talked about how he was taken up into heaven. And there were colors and there were all kinds of descriptions that he gave about this vision. A lot of it I could buy, and some of the description, it just didn't feel right. And some of it I could point to Scripture and say, you know what, that's kind of off a little bit because this verse kind of shows that you're off. And that's probably one of the best ways in which you know the Lord. We talked about that last week. We got to get in the Word. But I am convinced that I know the Lord even though I don't know a lot about the Lord. And I'm telling you tonight that if you want to be the kind of person that has some discernment in your life and that you're not going to just believe every person that has a dream or a vision, if you're going to be the kind of person that has discernment in your life because you just know that, hey, I know that's not true about my mom because I know my mom. I know that's not true about the Lord because I know the Lord. Then you need to have in your questions that you share the question that I just shared with you. Lord, how are you doing? Let's stand and I'll pray for us. Jesus, I just want to thank you for being a God that cares about us and gives us opportunity to know you. You're a relational God. And relationship is what you died for. Relationship is what we're built for. And relationship is what we get. A lot of us don't get a lot of the deep theology or the doctrine. A lot of us don't understand some of the complication that comes with this Bible. But we do understand relationship. And we want to thank you, God, that you built us that way. So that everybody is without excuse. Everybody has the opportunity to ask questions, to sincerely, in humility, not think of ourselves as much as we think about you. Give us that kind of a prayer life, that kind of a relationship, so that we can test it and that we can live in it and we can know without a doubt that we know you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.